What's up, beautiful people? Kirby Hossman here, trying to deliver you just a little bit more marketing joy. And today I am fired up to take on a topic I've been thinking about since I started this whole series. As you know, we do Delivering Marketing Joy every week, where I interview entrepreneurs and marketers from all over the world. And then once a week, I take on one topic where I can dive a little deeper. We call it DMJ one-on-one, and that's what we're doing today. So today we're going to talk about what's with all the extra charges when it comes to branded merch? And the goal is here to educate and to provide you a little bit of extra value. And hey, if it is providing you some value, please feel free to subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you are checking it out. So ever since I started doing Delivering Marketing Joy and the DMJ 101, particularly my team and several people who've been listening have said, I would love for you to tackle the idea of all these extra charges. So one of the things I would say about the branded merch industry, and I've said it to clients, I've said it to people in our industry, is one of the challenges is those extra charges. And it seems weird to our clients. And I would go to somebody when I first got in this industry and I'd be saying, hey, we have a special on $1 coffee mugs and you have to buy 300 of them. And so my client would say, okay, cool. So it's $300. And I'd be like, well, you know, there's an art charge and there's a screen charge and then there's a shipping charge and there's whatever. And at the end of the day, those 300 $1 mugs would cost $500. And I think that creates confusion. It creates frustration. And so what I wanted to do was talk a little bit about that and address what those charges are for and if and when you might be able to mitigate those in your branded merch experience. So I think it's also the other caveat I want to give is I don't love all of these extra fees, but from the perspective of the suppliers, they're put in a weird spot too, because the way that many of the products are searched for in our industry are through these search engines. And those search engines are often, as you might expect, searched by price. So for many of the suppliers, if they want to compete, then what they do is they have to strip down all the additional extra services so that they can compete specifically on price. And sometimes that creates some of this. Now, some of them, that's not the case. And so we'll dive into a little bit of that today. But I do think it's kind of helpful to understand how products are sourced, how we kind of came to this. And hopefully this will provide you a little bit of value, but also education on what kind of products to look for and things like that. So what I want to do is go through some of these charges that you might hear of, explain sort of what they are, and kind of give my take on them. So we're going to do that. So first up, there's screen charges. Screen charges is one of those charges that have been around for a long time. Screen charges, if you think to how traditionally you heard of screen printing, screen charges are one of those where they actually create a screen. They cut out the logo that they're going to put on a t-shirt, let's say. You cut that out and you put it down and you put the paint down and that becomes the imprint that goes on the t-shirt. And that piece that's cut out is the screen. And that actually is a physical, you know, a screen, a plate, a die. They actually have to create a physical thing in order to do that. And they have to do that based on per color, right? They do one for the red, then they do one for the blue. So if you see a t-shirt that has those multiple colors, each one of them had a screen that they had to create. And so I think that is one of those fees that it makes sense because there is a physical thing. Whenever you see a die charge or a screen charge, that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, one of the things that I think we've historically done is said, hey, once you create this, then you have it. And the problem with saying that is that, you know, there's physical limitations to saving all of those. And so many suppliers today will save those for up to 2 years. After that, you may have to recreate the screen. And that's a legitimate thing. They actually have to do that in order to imprint the item they're looking at. So that's what a screen charge is. And they're usually printed one color at a time. So if there is a four color imprint and you are doing it as screen printing, you're going to have to create four different screens. Now you may be saying, well, my person doesn't charge me for that. Maybe, but they probably do. They're either doing it for free or they're building it into the price because it is a thing that has to be created. So that's what a screen charge is. Where they've shifted is a new term, not new term, but a term called setup fee or a setup charge. So while when you get into digital printing or, you know, whether it's different kinds of printing, they might not have to create a physical screen, but there is still a setup. There is an amount of time that goes into it. They have to pull different items to imprint. They have to set up the machines. They have to get the ink colors ready. They have to do those sort of things in order to get the job ready. And so it is the setup to run the job. Now, again, you could say, well, they should, that's just the cost of doing business. And in many ways, you might be right. But in order to drive down the item piece price, they've created this screen or this, excuse me, a setup fee so that they have some time built in for labor, just like you would for your business. So a setup fee is one of those kind of fees that tries to build in the time to the time it takes to get set up to run the job. And that's actually one of the places where I think there is some confusion, because there's repeat setup fees. And many clients believe, hey, I already paid the setup fee, I shouldn't have to pay it again. Again, maybe you might be right on that. But unfortunately, especially when it's digital and they're not having to grab a screen, they actually still do have time in setting up that job. They still have to pull the shirts. They still have to pull the ink. They still have to do whatever it is to do that. And so many suppliers you're seeing are creating repeat setup fees. And while they might be less, and they're doing that probably because they know that they have good art, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute, there is still time involved in setting that up. So you got your setup fee, and then you got your repeat setup fee. Next up, I want to talk about run charges. So run charges are one of those things where, especially in that first thing where there's a screen or something like that, they might have a run charge for the second, third, fourth color. They have to set the job up and run it again. The other place you might see that same run charge or additional charge is one of the additional locations. So again, think of, so like this golf shirt, if there was something on the left chest and then they said, okay, I want my logo on the left chest, but I want something over here on this left sleeve, there would be an additional run charge to run it through a different machine, a separate time. And so there will be or could be additional run charges for that. So I've now talked about screen charges, setup fees, repeat setup fees, and run charges. And next, we talked about embroidery on this golf shirt. So a DST or an embroidery file. So that is a fee that tells you, you set up this file, it's a digital file these days, that tells the sewing machine, because that's essentially what we're talking about, where to go, how to imprint it so that your embroidery shows up in a specific way. And there is it's a digital file, but it takes time to set that up. Now, the good news about those files is the cost of that has really come down, which is great. You know, you're looking at a $40 charge or something, $40, $50 charge to get that set up. And I will tell you that that is digital. So as long as you keep that art the same, keep it the same size, keep it the same, generally you can keep that on file and you don't have to do a repeat. Now, the caveat to that is you say, okay, well, I want it to be modified in any way, or I want to change the size of it, or I want to do anything like that. That does still involve time. So there could, in theory, be additional charges for that. Next up, let's talk about art charges. Now, sometimes there is a fee to get the art that you are providing to be vector, or what used to be called camera ready, something so that you can, a vector file means simply that as big as you blow it up or as small as you blow it up, it doesn't pixelate, right? It's one of the ways to tell really quickly if you have vector art. If you have it on your screen and you can scroll all the way in and it doesn't get pixelated, it's probably a vector art. Used to be one of those things was like, well, it's got to be an EPS or it's got to be a this. While there are certain things, PDF, there are certain kinds of files that generally could be vector, we've ruined those things because we've grabbed a file that isn't vector, thrown it into that format and act as if that fixes it. It doesn't. So sometimes you need to pay a fairly nominal $30, $40, $50 fee to get it to be vector. Now, if you're saying that's crazy, I've got good art, cool. So go back to your files, go back to your artist, your designer who created that, and make sure that you're sending vector art to the people that you're working with, and that will really mitigate those fees. But it's amazing how often, if there's no art fee involved, all of a sudden, companies like mine end up having to clean up that art, or the supplier has to clean up that art, just because folks can be lazy about just going and getting good art. So there generally is going to be some sort of art charge if you don't provide good art. Okay, next up, proof charges. Proof charges are probably my biggest pet peeve in our entire industry. So here's what I would say. I don't like that a supplier would charge me a proof charge to make sure that they're going to do the art correctly. And I then don't want to charge my client to do the same because I feel like it's an insurance policy. It's an insurance policy to take care of all of us in this process. Now, let me defend the suppliers for a moment. Because I think people in my shoes, the distributors or the customers sometimes, will want, they say, hey, I want this tumbler or I want this t-shirt or whatever, and I'm going to throw art at it. And then the supplier does a proof and they say, well, I don't want it like that. I want it like this. I want it like this. And then all of a sudden there's 15 different revisions. Look, now you're using the supplier or the distributor as your art department. And there should be a fee for that, right? Now, my solution to this is I think that everybody should provide one free proof. And after that, there should be fees for it because it would force clients and distributors alike to get their act together so that they're providing good art to the suppliers so that we can, you know, get out orders in a more timely fashion. To me, that's that middle of the road. But a proof charge, we generally don't charge proof charges because I don't believe in them, but I do understand where the suppliers are coming from sometimes, because if you don't know what you want, it's really hard to hit that target. Okay. Less than minimum charges. Less than minimum charges is such a funny, I think it's like an oxymoron in our industry. It's either the minimum or it's not the minimum, except that's not always the case. And so I've run into that since we've been doing more on the Simple Signs side. So an example would be, okay, let's say that your minimum is to do 500 envelopes, right? 500 envelopes is what comes in a box and you say, I want it. That's the minimum. Well, a client might come to you and say, look, I just need 100 or 250 envelopes. I just don't need 500 envelopes. Why is there a fee for that? The reason there's a fee for that, because now I have a half box full of envelopes that now I don't know what to do. I can't actually fulfill a whole order. It's kind of a pain. It takes up space. And so that's just a really, really simple example of why it's more inconvenient for the printer, the supplier, whatever, to do less than what their system is set up to do. And so sometimes they will do fewer than that minimum, but they're going to charge you for the inconvenience to do it. So that's what a less than minimum fee is about. I actually don't have it on my list over here, but it occurred to me as I was talking about is a PMS color match charge, PMS. So PMS stands for Pantone Matching System. So if you are one of those companies that has a very, very specific blue or red, your designers created this brand, which many do, sometimes you're like, oh, okay. So some brands will say, you know, oh, that blue is close enough. But there are definitely some brands that say there's no such thing as close enough. You have to hit it right on the mark. And if you want to hit it right on the mark, often that can be done, but they have to do, you have to match the exact color because it's not the same that's going to be on your screen. You have to match it to what's called a PMS color, Pantone Matching System. And that takes extra mixing. It takes extra time. And so there can often be a PMS color match charge that might be 30, 40, 50 bucks in order to make sure you get that pink exactly the right pink or that blue exactly the right blue. So that's what that fee might be. And the final one is that, and again, guys, this is not a comprehensive list, but as you can see, I'm already almost 14 minutes in and I've just put this together today. But the final charges are shipping charges. At the end of the day, you know, these things are printed. These pieces of branded merch are often printed all over the United States. While sometimes folks print things here and there and they can print some small things in-house, things have to be shipped across the United States. And so generally there are shipping charges that go with it. And I think that, you know, while you can work to mitigate those charges do exist. You say, well, my person doesn't charge me those. They probably do. They're probably building it in. And that's, again, that's just a business model. It's fine. It's a choice. But they do have to be shipped. Again, think through what's the best way to ship it. Do you have a shipping dock? Can you ship it via trucking? Can you give yourself more time? Don't wait till the last minute. So there's rush charges involved. They do have to be shipped, but they don't have to be shipped overnight. So That is not a comprehensive list, but when I get asked, what are these charges? These are what the charges and what the charges are for. And I hope that's sort of helpful and a little bit educational to you. I think that one of the things that we as an industry can do and what we're trying to do is to give the client orders up front with all of those charges listed all up front before you agree to an order. I think that's one of the things that our industry has done historically not done a great job of, is all of a sudden you get an invoice and everything on it is a surprise because you ordered 300 $1 mugs and you got a $500 invoice. And I think one of the ways that you can help with that is just to ask for all those charges up front so you know what they are. When you hit go on the order, you'll know what you are actually on the hook for, what you should be expecting, and all that sort of thing. So that's what's with all the charges. I hope this has provided you some value. I hope it's given you a little bit of insight into the way that things are charged for, the way things are imprinted in the branded merch space. If you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm happy to do additional videos or just email you back with answers. And if this is providing you value, please feel free to subscribe. I would really appreciate that. And please feel free to rate the podcast, share the podcast so that it helps other people. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.